Broadcasting from the Taz and Lake Lodge Studios.
Sporting Journal Radio.
Sporting Journal Radio. The Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
Welcome to the show. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in wherever you're listening right now. We've got a lot to get to. Turkey hunting season is here, so Tyler Scott will join us not only to give tips to help you bag a tom this season, but also talk about what it's like to be working in a hospital right now as well. Joe Henry will have a Lake of the Woods update, Lake of the Woods fishing report, and talk about when we can start thinking about going to Lake of the Woods again. Hopefully that day comes sooner rather than later. Also, Lucas Mertens will give us an update on Devil's Lake and the area around there, how his fields are looking, what it's like in the town of Devil's Lake right now. Lucas is with Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. He's on the way. Doug Lear has an update on the paddlefish snagging season. We'll check in with Doug Lear too here in just a little bit. This week's show is brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake. Go to haybaleheights.com for more details. It's brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Find out how you can plan a trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. It's brought to you by Tazen Lake Lodge in Northwest Saskatchewan. Tazenlake.com has all the details on planning a trip to catch a giant lake trout, maybe a world record, also 50-inch northern pike. You can watch Tazen TV, which I host. You can see it. I created Tazen TV. You can watch the episodes at tazenlake.com. Or find them on Facebook as well.
Time now for What's New, brought to you by Prairie Sportsman, the Emmy Award-winning show based on Pioneer PBS. Find out where you can watch the show at prairiesportsman.org or watch the episodes now at prairiesportsman.org on YouTube or on our Facebook or Instagram.
Prairie Sportsman can be seen in the Twin Cities Saturdays at 12:30 on TPT Life. Also the Brainerd Bemidji area on Lakeland PBS Saturdays at 2:30 and then in Duluth on WDSE at 4. Then Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer PBS, another new episode. The I Can Paddle program is offered through the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources for people that want to learn how to paddle, how to go kayaking and canoeing. We feature that. And then we also have the story of Kernza. Kernza, I think, is something more and more people are going to be hearing about as a perennial wheatgrass and a new crop that is going to be grown in some areas, including the Lac Parle area. You can also find it in some local Minnesota-made beers. Well, so many things not happening in Minnesota. They have canceled all camping, lodging, and group rental facilities with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources are closed until May 4th. Cancellation and modification fees are waived during this time. State parks remain open with reduced services for day use only, and vehicle permits are still required. Also, the Boundary Waters basically shut down until May 4th. Canceled and closed up until May 4, as of right now, in alignment with the stay-at-home orders from Governor Walz as of the time of this recording. May 4 is still our date. Turkey season is going on right now. It runs through May 31st. It's divided into six hunt periods, A through F. If you're still looking to get in on this, of course, you can participate and purchase a firearms license good for one of those weeks. And if you're unsuccessful during your week, you can hunt the F week if you weren't able to shoot a turkey during the week that you had a license for. Archery license holders may still hunt any close to home permit area for the entire season. Hunters cannot purchase both a firearms and archery only license. Licensed hunters ages 17 and younger may hunt any close to home permit area statewide for the entire season with a firearms or with firearms or archery equipment. Not much stocking going to take place in Minnesota waters this year. The DNR canceled its 2020 egg take for walleye, pike, muskie, steelhead because of COVID-19. Although some fisheries spokespeople, Brad Parsons for one, said, you know, honestly, a lot of times a good year is followed up by a weak year, so taking a year off may not be the worst thing anyway. But what else is going to come out of this is some of the hatchery rearing ponds will not be used. So the DNR is going to lower water levels in a lot of those rearing ponds to improve that long-term productivity and the future fishery and capacity in that pond. So they're going to do some work on it. So you might see some of those ponds, water levels drawn down, or they might be working on dike repairs, improvements, pond improvements. When that water drops, it allows them to do some work in there. So there is some positive work being done despite not being able to do some more of that stocking. In Wisconsin, starting April 16th, the DNR invites anyone interested in deer management in Wisconsin to provide feedback on preliminary recommendations for the 2020 deer hunting structure. Now, every county in Wisconsin has a County Deer Advisory Council. And anyone wishing to provide feedback on the preliminary recommendations for their county can provide input through April 29th on the Wisconsin DNR website. Now, to view each county's recommendations, their agendas, who the members are, you can visit the DNR's County Deer Advisory Council webpage. After the public comment period closes, those councils will convene between May 4th and 7th to consider public feedback and determine their final recommendations for the 2020 deer hunting season, although that may get pushed back because of the extension of the stay-at-home order. So this COVID-19 thing is really screwing a bunch of things up. But in some positive news in Park Falls there, the Chamber of Commerce has announced a new program where they highlight local businesses as chamber champions. And the first one is St. Croix Rods. Congrats, St. Croix. All right, now we're going to check in up at Devil's Lake, Haybale Heights Campground Resort with Lucas Mertens here on the radio show. Lucas, how are you doing?
Everybody is safe and healthy, I guess, so far.
Well, good. That's good to hear.
Yep.
And, you know, I think last time we talked about this, to try to look for the silver linings or the positives in all this, at least this whole situation kind of happened during your transition time up there.
Yeah, I guess if there was a time to have a hiccup for the tourism industry in Devil's Lake, maybe it was perfect timing as far as that. I mean, any of these viruses or any of these things, I mean, there's nothing good that comes out of them. But yeah, timing-wise, it was probably okay for us.
Well, hopefully everything, you know, the economy needs to get back going again. And obviously the tourism industry is probably being hit. Everything is being hit. It's hard to say who's being hit more, but definitely the tourism industry is tough right now. So hopefully everything gets back going here in Minnesota. As of the time of this recording, our stay-at-home order is still May 4th. Sounds like Wisconsin extended theirs. A couple of other states have extended. Maybe that'll happen here in Minnesota. Hopefully not. But as of this time right now, May 4th is our stay at home. So if after that we can start traveling, I mean, you guys will be open if people want to come up to Devil's Lake, right, Lucas?
Yeah, for sure. Governor Burgum and North Dakota Game and Fish, I mean, they are saying, you know, the fishing seasons are, you know, open as, you know, nothing has changed. I know they said they want to monitor them very hard, you know, make sure that people aren't just lining the shores of Devil's Lake. You know, Devil's Lake has some really good shore fishing this time of year. And I just want to make sure everybody's, you know, staying far enough apart and nobody's getting too crazy. And I think as long as everybody kind of follows by that, you know, I think we, you know, up here in North Dakota, we'll be fine.
Yeah, your county has seen just a few cases up there.
Yeah, Ramsey County in North Dakota, we had three right away, and everybody kind of thought, "Oh, wow, here it comes." And then we haven't had another one since. Not saying that there isn't any more out there, but Devil's Lake basically as a whole is kind of shut down. I mean, there's some hardware stores and grocery stores are open. All the farmers, being me, you know, we're out trying to get our farm equipment ready to go and things like that. There's been some challenges there, like the John Deere dealership. You can't walk in the door and show a parts man what kind of parts you need. You have to actually call and kind of walk through it on the phone. And it seems like it takes a couple tries sometimes if you're looking for an intricate part.
Do they FaceTime at the implement dealer, at the John Deere dealer?
Well, we talked about that, but I guess I haven't done that personally. I don't know if other guys have done that, but yeah, I mean, sometimes looking at those computer screens, it's hard to explain exactly to someone what they need.
Yeah.
Or what you need until you just point at it and say, "Hey, I need 1B. This is what I need," you know. So there's been some hiccups there, but I guess we're getting by.
How are you've had some colder weather up where you're at the last week, it sounds like, week and a half.
Yeah, we've been cold as heck. I mean, we were down to 10 degrees and 12 degrees and 17 degrees 3 nights in a row. I'm out in the yard right now, and I mean, it's the snow is not melting. I mean, we don't have much snow, but I mean, it's cold. Looks like by the weekend, we're going to start warming up, and then we're supposed to be above normal temps for a while. So I think spring is right here, you know, right on the corner.
How much water do you have in fields, or snow, or how are your fields looking?
Oh, some fields are pretty decent. Some fields got a lot of excess water on them. The coolies have been running pretty decent. And they were talking somewhere between a foot to 2 feet on Devil's Lake. Personally, I think we'll be probably somewhere around a foot, maybe a foot and a half. We just had kind of a perfect thaw, so I think a lot of the water evaporated or went in the ground, which, you know, that's okay too. And we did get almost a foot last fall when we got all that snow. So, I mean, the water's going to be up overall on Devil's Lake this summer.
Well, I like to think positively, and I'd like to think there's light at the end of the tunnel. So I want to try to encourage people to at least start looking in to making some of those fishing trips, getting some plans together for some of those fishing trips. So if people want to start thinking about a trip to Devil's Lake when the time is right, and everybody gets the go ahead to go back and enjoy what they like to do every summer, how can they find out more about Haybale Heights, Lucas?
Yeah, they can look us up on the internet, which is haybaleheights.com. They can look at our Facebook page, or they can call me direct, 701-351-3130.
Very good.
I think everything will be, you know, once we get into May, June, you know, I think everything in North Dakota is going to go back to, you know, just business as usual. So,
well, that's what I'm looking forward to, and glad to hear everybody's safe and healthy up there. Hopefully that stays that way, of course. And thanks for the time on Sporting Journal Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me. Stay safe.
All right. News about the paddlefish season in North Dakota is coming up next. Plus Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods. When can we start thinking about going back up there? And then Tyler Scott checks in, explains what it's like to be working in a hospital right now, and then offers his tips on chasing toms this season.
It's almost spring, and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Haybale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Haybale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our 5-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Joe Henry's coming up here in just a minute, but first we're going to check in with Doug Lear from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department with his outdoors report. It's brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake.
The 2020 paddlefish harvest season has been canceled. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department outdoors report. The 2020 North Dakota Fishing Proclamation was recently amended to cancel the upcoming paddlefish snagging harvest season due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, the amendment does allow for the possibility of a one-week snag and release season from May 15th through the 21st, which is 2 weeks later than the normal opening day. Fisheries Chief Greg Power said the safety of snaggers, caviar processors, and data collection staff are a major concern. Paddlefish snaggers concentrate in large numbers in a small area and often participate in snagging while shoulder to shoulder. there is no realistic way to maintain proper separation. Game and Fish is allowing for the possibility of a one-week snag and release season, Power said, because data strongly suggests considerably fewer snaggers would participate. A final decision on that snag and release season will come at a later date. The snag and release season is considered acceptable as the lower risk activity for those avid snaggers who just want some time outdoors, usually by themselves. If there is a snag and release season, anglers would only need a fishing license. A paddlefish tag would not be required. The North Star Caviar fish cleaning, egg processing, and boat shuttle operation will not be open this year. In other news, the Game and Fish Department has scheduled an examination to select candidates for the position of district game warden. The test is at 10 a.m. May 29th at the department's main office in Bismarck. Applicants must register to take the exam no later than May 27th by submitting an online application through North Dakota State Job Openings website. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Now we're going to head up to Lake of the Woods and check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism. Joe, how are things?
Hey, Brett, things are good. Thank you.
I'd like to say there's light at the end of the tunnel, Joe. And as of right now, they're still talking about May 4 kind of being the end of the stay-at-home stuff here in Minnesota anyway. And based on what's going on, I mean, you've been seeing what's going on in Michigan and, of course, Washington State closed stuff down. And there was something in Ohio they did there too?
Yeah, you know, so it's my understanding that, you know, well, of course, Ohio is Lake Erie, so it's really big fishing right now. And, you know, my understanding is that they don't allow any sales of non-resident fishing licenses for the state of Ohio. So, you know, if you're a resident of Ohio, you can get a state fishing license and go fishing. But if you're a non-resident, you can't go fishing in Ohio right now or in Ohio waters.
That's interesting. I've heard of some other states stopping non-resident sales. But what, man, and you don't have to comment on this, Joe, but what they're doing in Michigan, what that governor's doing in Michigan is out of control, in my personal opinion, to allow people to go fishing out of canoes and kayaks, but not out of their boat. I just, with a motor on it, I think is ridiculous. And obviously they do too, if they're protesting as much as they are. But let's focus on the good times ahead of us, Joe. Let's focus on the future. And if everything stays the course, May 4, we'll hopefully be able to get back out and do some of these things. And that means we'll be able to go up to Lake of the Woods again?
Absolutely. And, you know, here's what I would say is, first and foremost, you know, everybody's in this thing together. And, you know, you certainly you can understand so many different perspectives. You know, some people are really, really scared. And people are scared because, you know, a lot of the smaller communities through, whether it's Lake of the Woods or northern Minnesota, or across the Midwest, you know, you have your small towns with your small healthcare facilities that maybe don't have, you know, ICU beds and they don't have ventilators. So people are naturally very concerned about that. They're concerned that they might get limited supplies in their grocery stores and, you know, tourists might gobble those up. And, you know, so you can understand that perspective. And of course, then you have their perspective of outdoors people that say, gosh, as long as I'm being responsible and practicing social distancing and all the other things that we need to be responsible with, you know, fishing and getting in the outdoors, whatever your activity is, can be a very good way to social distance and still enjoy life. And so you can understand both sides of it. And really the perspective that our resorts up at Lake of the Woods have taken is to really take the lead of both the federal and the state governments and just to abide by the law and to do what they need to do. But, you know, at the same time, there'll be coming a point whenever that is, whenever the decision's made by the governments that, you know, the stay-at-home order will be lifted. And when that's lifted, our resorts have already taken numerous steps to do whatever they can to make both their employees and also guests safe as possible. Things like, you know, they're doing special COVID-19 cleaning procedures, for instance, in the lodges and in the rooms and the cabins and things like that. You know, they're doing things like if you're on a meal plan, either one person can come to the resort. You can order menus are in the hotel rooms or in the cabins. You can order off the menu. You can come in and one person can pick up all the meals for your group, or they might deliver them to the front door of your cabin so you have no contact. You can check in, Brett, ahead of time and do all your arrangements financially with a credit card and such ahead of time. In some cases, people are going on a charter boat and they're doing special things where they're cleaning the charter boat and the rods, reels, tackle, you know, net handles, things like that. In some cases, people are going to bring their own boat up and fish on their own. So they really have very, very little contact with anybody else. So I guess my point is that, you know, we're going to follow the lead of our leaders. And then, you know, once they say, okay, you know, we have the green light with precautions, well then, you know, the precautions are going to be taken, and slowly but surely people will start getting out there to enjoy the great outdoors again.
Well, we need that. We need that to happen. Obviously, safety is priority, of course, but people definitely need to be able to get out. And I don't know, not to go back on the Michigan thing, but the argument there was that boat accesses get too crowded. And I understand, especially like Lake of the Woods, boat accesses can get very crowded as well. But I generally don't get real close to people when I launch my boat. So I was a little surprised at that. Like, say, if you lived there, you know, I'm not advocating somebody travel necessarily, but I guess I just don't get real close. I don't know. And you could buy seed. You can go to the grocery store, but you can't buy seeds for your garden in Michigan. There's just some things that just don't make any sense to me, Joe.
Well, look at this one, Brad. You know, if by chance people couldn't go fishing throughout northern Minnesota as a whole, let's say, how many people are going to go fishing in their local area? Those lakes in the metro area, like Lake Minnetonka, how busy do you think those accesses would be?
Pounded. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, you sometimes when you try to create a problem, you're creating another problem. And, you know, I think there, again, there's lots of different sides of this thing. People have to do the right thing. By no way would we ever, you know, condone doing something that's going to put anybody in harm's way. But at the same time, that's why we're following the lead of our government. And of course, the resort owners are independent. I mean, they're entrepreneurs, and they are trying to do everything they can to not only stay in business, but also make things as safe as possible.
Well, if people want to get on a trip and fish the opener on Lake of the Woods and get out of the house, and as long as we have the go-ahead to do that, I would say people start looking into those trips right now. And where can they find out more information about that, Joe?
You bet. We're all going to be watching what the governor says about whether he's going to extend this May 4th deal or not, but we'll go by that. You want to find out more information from Lake of the Woods? Check out our website. It's Lake of the Woods. MN.com.
Tyler Scott is next on Sporting Journal Radio. He's got turkey tips and talks about what it's like to work in a hospital right now. If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazon Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazonLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazon Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazonLake.com. That's TazonLake.com. Tazon Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan. It's almost spring, and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazon Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network, on this station right here, by demand at sportingjournalradio.com or by subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Tyler Scott is our guest right now here on the radio show. Turkey season is here. I've seen a lot of successful hunt pictures come through social media. I've also talked to some people who aren't hunting quite yet. They're waiting to go out. And I want to talk turkey hunting. I want to talk health with everything that's going on right now. So I reached out to Tyler. First of all, how are you doing? Is everyone healthy? Everything good?
You know what? I'm located in Otter Tail County in Fergus Falls. And so far in our neck of the woods, you know, there isn't too many cases at this point. You know, at some point in time, obviously there's going to be cases here and there, but so far it seems that rural America has been doing their part in social distancing and seems to be helping in kind of keep the cases at bay to this point. So.
And you work in the healthcare industry. Tell our listeners what you do.
Yeah, so I'm a nurse anesthetist, anesthesia provider in Fergus Falls. And so with the advent of elective cases being essentially postponed until further notice for the majority of the country, you know, anesthesia services on our end are greatly diminished. You know, we're all preparing for what might come. You know, we all see on TV what's happening in some of the larger metropolitan areas, and not only our country, but around the world. And there are places that are seriously inundated with some severely ill people. And it's one of those things that you don't know what you don't know. And I think that's kind of what we found ourselves in as a world, for that matter.
So,
here locally, you know, we haven't had any severe cases yet. I hope we can keep it that way. But obviously at some point we're going to have cases knocking on our door as well.
So has that affected your work schedule? Are you still working, or how has it affected you?
Yeah, I mean, in rural America, I think this is pretty commonplace everywhere. You know, we're still doing urgent and emergent cases. We still have to provide those services, of course. But the elective procedures, you know, such as if you had a carpal tunnel or you had a torn rotator cuff for your shoulder, or you're going to have a total joint replace, those type of cases are postponed for now. And so it'll be interesting to see how we do proceed moving forward. I think healthcare, I think the way a lot of things are done in the future are probably going to change after this.
Yeah.
Some for the good, some for the bad. I mean, it's a really unfortunate circumstance, unprecedented times, of course. But we all have to adapt. So it'll be interesting to see how we move forward.
Well, it's funny you say rotator cuff, because I'm pretty sure I've got if it's not a tear, it's something close. I mean, I can barely move my right arm right now. It's been bothering me for a number of years, and it's finally gotten to the point where I was like, yeah, I got to go in and get it checked out. And literally, that's when this whole coronavirus thing happened. So
yeah,
I gotta throw the tennis ball with my left hand for my dog right now. I can't even throw a tennis ball for the pup.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Tyler Scott, our guest. So is it weird going into like a hospital right now? Do you feel weird going in there? Do you have to wear masks? What's it like?
Yeah, you know, and every facility is probably just a little bit different, but probably everybody's getting towards the same page as far as personal protective equipment. That's all we hear about on TV as far as having enough or not having enough PPE. Mostly you hear about the places who allegedly don't have enough. You know, when we are entering the hospital now, everybody is wearing a mask, just kind of commonplace. If we are working with patients and we're within a close distance, we're likely wearing. Also, you've probably heard of the N95 masks, just help with, us not breathing in any air particles, as this virus is allegedly an airborne illness. And so there's little tiny particles that can stay in the air potentially for a long period of time. So we are wearing those masks. We're wearing eye protection. And if we are in direct contact, say we're doing a procedure, we're wearing the gowns. I mean, it's just, again, it's a protective type measure to protect ourselves, obviously, as healthcare providers, as well as protecting, you know, future patients. So we aren't spreading it to other surfaces in the hospital or contracting it ourselves and then potentially spreading to another patient. And so we're taking all those necessary steps at this point. It's good practice to, you know, if and when we do get a surge of patients, to kind of start doing those practices now.
Can you get the N95 masks and camouflage for our turkey hunters out there?
That would be neat, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So are you would you recommend, I mean, a lot of turkey hunters wear some sort of face mask or something like that. Obviously, you're outside. Probably don't need to be as protected out there. But what are you, for turkey hunters that want to go out there, I mean, are you telling them to be careful about anything other than the usual, hey, don't get too close to people?
That's a difficult question because there's potentially a politically correct answer, and there's an answer that me personally, what I believe, but
right.
Here's my opinion is there is no better way to keep yourself mentally and physically in shape, and more mentally at this point in time, because people are locked up, right? This is getting draining on everyone.
It's ridiculous.
Even if you don't have a diagnosed psychiatric disorder, whether it's depression, anxiety, things like that, inevitably those who don't are getting into some sort of state of mind. Me, myself, I'm getting depressed just being somewhat locked down inside. You know, it's naturally going to happen, right? So when we are looking at a turkey season now that it just started yesterday, I think there is no better time than now to get outside, get turkey hunting if you've never done it before, and just embrace it. If you're going to join in on the fun or have somebody join in on it with you, my personal opinion would be maybe just drive separate vehicles to a hunting location.
There you go.
And get out, enjoy yourselves. I don't see anything wrong in that. I actually think it's healthy and more people should be doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
some people might be against that idea. You know, we can get as crazy as we want to get with potentially protecting ourselves and others, right? But at some point, we're going to have to get back to some sort of normalcy. And I think this is a great step in that direction to get socially engaged with another human being. Because if you're locked down like me with a one-year-old and a three-year-old and a wife who works at home, the household is getting a little crazy right now. I'm sure I'm not the only one in that boat.
No. Tyler Scott, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about turkey hunting and in the world we're living in today. We're recording this on Thursday. You're actually have you been out hunting at all? Have you been out scouting? What are you seeing out there?
Been out scouting a little bit, put out a couple blinds. I have not hunted myself yet. I had to work yesterday. Today I'm on daddy duty, and so as I'm driving now to go set out a couple blinds with my two daughters, it's nap time right now with daddy in the car, so we're trying to kill two birds with one stone here. I'm planning to head out tomorrow, and just like we had talked about as far as hunting with another more people, I am planning to bring out a first-time hunter tomorrow. Again, we're driving to a location in separate vehicles, and we're going to enjoy the morning together. I see no problem in doing that whatsoever. So,
well, I want to talk about what you do to introduce people to turkey hunting, or if somebody's thinking about bringing a kid out, I want to get some tips from you on that. We'll do that coming up here. There were some changes this year to the turkey season. No more lottery. Gun hunters can go out and hunt. What do you think about the changes to the season here in Minnesota?
I think it's great on an opportunity standpoint. You know, it seems like it's changed every year for the last 5 years as far as how it's all broken down. But, you know, we still have the 7-day periods in the A, B, C, D, E, and F, I believe, is the last one. I believe with everybody being locked down for the last 30-some days and no lottery for A and B anymore, I got to believe there's going to be a lot of turkey hunters out these first couple seasons for sure, which is a good thing. It's a good opportunity thing. I see no issue in it whatsoever. And if you don't fill in those first A, B, C, D, or E seasons, you can, again, hunt in that last week of May. Your license is valid for that as well. Myself, I'm getting an archery license, so I can just kind of hunt the entire season and bring people here and there as I feel I can. So.
All right. Well, I want to talk about the difference between gun and bow as well, too. We'll do that when we come back with Tyler Scott here on Sporting Journal Radio.
It's almost spring and soon the ice will be melting. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
If you want to have success fishing in Minnesota, you have to go where the fish are. And there may be no lake with more fish in it than Lake of the Woods. Not just big numbers of walleye, sauger, perch, eel pout, pike, muskie, bass, and sturgeon, but numbers of big fish too. Between the Rainy River, the main lake, and the Northwest Angle, you have over 50 resorts to choose from. Guided fishing allows for heated transportation to heated fish houses. Learn how to book a trip now at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
If trophy lake trout and monster northern pike are on your list this summer, book a trip to Tazzin Lake Lodge in northwestern Saskatchewan.
Everything from numbers to big fish.
See pictures, videos, and more at TazzinLake.com.
This is quite the fishery.
Our five-star chef will feed you well after a day of chasing giants on Tazzin Lake.
Dream come true.
Get rates, dates, and more of what you can expect.
It could be the best fishing you've ever had in your life.
At TazzinLake.com. That's TazzinLake.com. Tazzin Lake Lodge is a proud partner of Tourism Saskatchewan.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio. Broadcasting from the Tazzin Lake Lodge studios, this is Sporting Journal Radio.
We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for listening on this station here on the network, on demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or with the podcast app. Our guest is Tyler Scott right now. We're into the first week of the turkey hunting season. Some years we have snow on the ground. I guess in some parts of the listening area right now, we still have some snow on the ground, just not where I'm at here in western Minnesota. But Tyler, when I know that's why they had the lottery for these first couple of weeks, because they were always more popular. Is that your favorite time to hunt right away at the beginning of the season?
You know, it's like any opening season, right? Everybody's itching to get out, and myself included. I can't wait to get out. But if I were to pick the best time in our area, we're in that west central Minnesota area, I would probably shoot for that first week in May if I were to pick my favorite time. Hmm. The birds have been hunted a little bit. They haven't been hunted an entire season. At that point, you're starting to get foliage on the trees, which makes it easier to kind of maneuver around. The grass is starting to pop, and the hens are probably at that point sitting on nests. Right now, I think a lot of, you know, I've been talking to some buddies out, and it happens every year. This time of the year, you know, snow's just went, birds are just breaking up. You're still finding some little bit larger groups of birds together. Hens are laying eggs, of course, but they probably aren't sitting on their nests yet. So I think in a lot of cases, you're finding hens up and about for a majority of the day, and those toms are typically henned up with those hens for a majority of the daytime hours. Where once those hens do start to lay, you know, they'll of course be feeding for those first couple hours in the morning, but then they'll go back to nest, and then you get some lonely toms come mid-morning, midday, and it seems like the opportunities to have a tom come in, I think, increase as we get into that first part of May. But again, I enjoy getting out right away and getting the blinds out and getting out sitting in Mother Nature.
So do you like hunting in the morning or later in the day, or does it depend on what time of the season it is?
Of course, I like getting out at first light and listening to them on the roost, finding where they're at. Again, that can be a challenging time too, as once they pitch down, those hens are down in the timber with them or on the edge of a field, and it can be frustrating because you think those birds are going to come into your lap. And if the hens work in your direction, like this time of year, a lot of times you can have some action and they will break out from those hens, especially those hens coming close enough and you've got a Jake or a Tom decoy out, they can get very defensive or territorial. But those morning hours can be frustrating, as those toms can be henned up for the first few hours of the day. And then typically that mid to late morning can be the most magical time of the day, to be quite honest with you, to get a tom to come into the decoy.
So when you talk about getting out there first light and finding out where they're, you know, kind of where they're roosting, do you move then throughout the, will you kind of chase them around, or do you set up in one place and stick it out?
depends on the situation. If I'm by myself, if I'm with a new hunter, if we're using a gun, if we're using a bow, it's hard to move around with a bow, kind of that, you know, run and gun type mentality. It's a lot easier to do that with a shotgun. I know the popular thing that we've seen and I've done myself is some of those, you know, fan or half of a decoy that you have mounted on your bow and kind of getting in on them with that. It's a fun way to hunt. It really is. Again, you got to be careful if you want to talk about safety in the field as far as walking around with a Tom decoy on your bow or walking around behind it. You know, there, if you're on public land especially, you got to just be careful.
I probably wouldn't do it on public land. Yeah.
No. You got to be careful in that sense. So, yeah. But it is an exhilarating way to hunt. And if those toms commit, they come fast and they come hard. And it can happen fast. It is a fun way to hunt. But if I'm bow hunting, typically I'm in a blind. And either in a spot where they're transitioning through or feeding or a typical strutting area is typically where I would set up with a bow. Shotgun, there I'm probably, if I'm by myself or with an experienced hunter, really trying to move in on them as close as a guy can and making things happen. But it really varies on the situation and who you got with you or who you don't have with you.
So my nephew Dan hunted turkeys for the first time this year, and he also hunted with a bow for the first time, and he shot a turkey just minutes into opening morning with this bow. It doesn't always work like that, does it?
No, it doesn't. But it sure is fun when it does happen like that.
Man.
It was amazing. There was a lot of success pictures I saw floating around social media, like you had said earlier. Opening morning was a very good morning for a lot of people. It was cool to see.
Tyler Scott, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking turkeys. When it comes to scouting for birds, so say you're out driving around in the evening looking for a place to hunt the next day. Maybe you're in a new area. Are there any landscape features that you seek out first, or do you just drive around looking for birds?
That's a good question. Those who have hunted turkeys for many years find that birds will historically roost in the same spots year after year after year. Now that can change as the season progresses. You know, as they move out from their wintering grounds, their roost areas can change. But typically you'll find that those birds are roosting in the same spots. Now if you're hunting a new area, you want to look for maybe some ridges or some hilltops where they would be roosting off of. They like pitching off of some elevation. If you're in flat country, you want to find areas maybe adjacent to an open field pasture and that has some big mature trees on the edge of it or near there, and that it's not too thick for them to pitch up and roost. So just different terrain features to look for. But again, open fields, pastures, they really like pitching down and strutting in that right away in the morning.
When you see turkeys, what makes you go, yep, I'm going to try to hunt these tomorrow?
That's a good question. First off, you got to have permission.
Right.
Got to have that. If there's multiple birds, it gets you excited. More birds can make things more interesting as well. So maybe it's a little bit easier if you find a single tom off in a zone to try and make him work into your decoys on a set. There's nothing really in particular, I guess.
Well, let me phrase it this way. Say you come across two different spots that have turkeys. What's going to make you pick one over the other one? Obviously, probably a hide. And then what you said was kind of interesting right there. So say one location has three toms and one is just a single tom. If you've got similar situations between the two, other than that factor that there's more toms than the other, you'd go after the single one?
It might be easier. He might not be. So it's weird. Sometimes you'll find where you might have a group of, say, 3 2.5-year-old birds, and there might be a 3 or 4-year-old bird in amongst that same group. But that group of younger birds will oftentimes run off that single older tom. It's weird. You would think that the pecking order would be determined by the oldest bird in the flock, but oftentimes, you'll even see a group of jakes will run off a big tom, a big lone tom. So sometimes if you get a lone tom all by himself and say you just use the hen decoy, that might be the ticket right there.
Interesting.
But getting back to land features, access is big too, because if you don't get in the absolute dark and they see you walking in off their roof, the gig's up even before it started.
Amazing how well they can see.
It really is. It really is. Yeah. Well,
and when you talk about scouting and maybe when you've got kids that you're going to take out, bringing them with scouting so they can see how these birds, kind of how they act, and just teaching them about where to look. That's kind of a fun part of introducing kids to hunting, isn't it?
It really is. You know, yesterday, as we saw all these pictures floating up on Facebook or Instagram or whatever you might be looking at on social media platform, but, you know, as we've probably mentioned here too about the youth turkey hunt that we normally do around Pelican Rapids, about 4 years ago, you know, we take 15 kids each year. Well, there was a young girl who we took, I think it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I saw that she and then her younger sister, who went for the first time, each shot toms yesterday morning, and I just commented on the dad's photo that he was, you know, he's a proud dad moment, and he had just replied saying that, you know, if we wouldn't have done that youth turkey hunt and they wouldn't have done that, this moment would have never happened. Mm. So seeing things like that makes you smile, it warms your heart, and it really reinforces the reason why we as outdoorsmen introduce the youth to this wonderful sport. Whether it's turkey hunting, deer hunting, or pheasant hunting, whatever it may be, fishing.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to be learned in the outdoors, and learning about animals, and just learning about different habits of animals, and just gaining a respect for wildlife. You know, the anti-hunters might think that we're just out there to kill.
Right.
But if I had to argue, I would argue that hunters care more about wildlife than anybody out there.
100%. Hey, Tyler, we're running out of time here, but I wanted to talk deer just for 1 second, too, because
yeah.
I've heard a couple reports of some bucks still sporting antlers this
really?
Year. Yeah. Have you heard that? Have you seen any? I was shocked when I heard about it.
I haven't. You know, I run cameras year-round, and at least on our couple parcels, there was a couple year-and-a-half-olds that were hanging into later March, but everything else that I knew of had dropped. But again, it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think the latest I've had a picture of a buck carrying in the past few years is March 31st. But boy, the hormones and everything are kicking in and they're just pushing those antlers out. I mean, you're going to start to see these bucks budding out here, I would guess, at any moment.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing surprises me anymore. All right, man. Well, I appreciate the time here today. Of course, hopefully that youth turkey hunt will be back on next year. We'll have you on the show again to talk about how that whole thing works. And stay safe, stay healthy. You and your family, good luck with turkey hunting this weekend. And thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba Media, LLC. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for listening to Sporting Journal Radio. We'll see you next week.